Welcome to Letters to a Young Mormon, a limited series from the In Good Faith team at BYU Radio. I'm Stephen Cap Perry, your host. We're reading through Adam Miller's 2013 collection of epistolary essays, Letters to a Young Mormon. Storyteller Sam Payne is the voice of the narrator, called A, who considers the difficult questions of his younger friend, S. And now, letter 11, titled Hunger.
Dear S, I can see that you're hungry. And though you may doubt it, this hunger is a grace, something you can neither command nor deserve, but that nonetheless is given. This, too, is how a body is. Your body is a gift, and to be alive in your body is to live with this hunger. When Jesus was baptized, he, like you, began a new life. The heavens opened for him. God spoke to him, and the Spirit filled him. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. Luke 4:1-2. Newborn and Spirit-led, the first thing revealed to Jesus is hunger. Immediately after God speaks, the Spirit drives him out into the wilderness and acquaints him with a thirst and fatigue 40 days in the making. Compare Mark 1:12. Jesus cannot be the life of the world if he does not, in his bones, understand the wild hunger that propels it. If religion is about living life rather than dodging it, then this hunger can't just be brushed aside, tamped down, or covered over. Your heart beats, and your lungs expand, and your brain thinks, and your cells divide because of it. Like the ocean tide, the push and pull of your body's needs give order and direction to your day. They put you in bed at night and pull you back out in the morning. They set your table for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. They stand you in the shower. They wrap you in warm clothing. Soliciting you, these hungers give body to your most elemental joys. Your hungers are trying to teach you what it means to be a body. Bodies are organs of passing. Bodies channel what they can of this world through your narrow walls of flesh and bone. Bodies pass light through your eyes, sounds through your ears, smells through your nose, tastes through your tongue, food through your bowels, air through your lungs, blood through your veins, electricity through your nerves. These things all come, and these things all go. None of them stay. Your body borrows its living from the world. Satisfactions always wane, and your hungers are a sign of their passing. More, these hungers don't just mark the passing of what has, for a time, sustained you. They mark the passing of the body that you are. Never forget this. You are hungry because you are dying. That is the kind of thing a body is. We live our mortal lives mortally wounded by a hunger that will not quit. The story of your life will be the story of how you choose to live with and through this fact. For the sake of life, you must greet this hunger as Jesus did, with a kind of care, patience, and attention enabled by the Spirit. Gnawed by hungers, you will be tempted to make one of two mistakes. Aware of life's restless difficulty, you'll be tempted to try to solve the problem of your hunger by, 1, satisfying it, or 2, purging it. Neither will work, and both amount to a rejection of life. Trying to avoid the hunger that animates life, either by satisfying it or by purging it, you'll only end up avoiding life itself. Rather than being alive, you'll discover that you've strategized yourself into being plain undead. This zombie-like disconnection from life's hunger, and thus from God's presence, is called sin, or spiritual death. Don't run from your hunger. Don't call it names, curse it, regret it, or shame yourself with it. but don't indulge it either. Rather, care for your hunger. Pay attention. Watch it grow and fade. Become acquainted with and sensitive to it. Hunger marks your openness to the world, your dependence on it, your vulnerability to it. Your hunger is an X that marks that all-important spot where your life and the world's substance overlap. This open vulnerability to people and food and air is not a curse, but a gift. Welcome the world, love it, and express trust in it by caring about your hunger for it. Learn to note all the little deadening tactics you use to keep life at arm's length. Learn instead to draw life close. Our lives are short, and so much of them is spent eating and sleeping. We have to get this part right. Learn to eat with gratitude and care. Eat like you would like to eat again. Save some hunger for later. Eat what makes you feel good, not just while you're chewing it, but 2 hours later. Learn to go to bed early and get up early. Don't cling to the day or the night by staying up too late or sleeping in too long. Sleep like you would like to sleep again. See the truth about sin and the spiritual death that sin causes. Your spiritual life will pivot around your first-person, full-bodied discovery that sin is a gesture of self-defense. Sin is a way of recoiling in fear from life's vulnerability. The spiritual death you suffer is a wall that you built between yourself and your own life in order to protect yourself from it. An abundant life depends on trusting the Spirit and letting this wall fall. Living the gospel means learning how to live. It means learning to eat and sleep. Plant yourself in your hunger and let your life grow out of it. Let God grow in you. Hear His voice in your need. Let Jesus resurrect you right now in this life, even before you're done dying. Let Him put your spirit back in your hungry body. Love, A.
Letters to a Young Mormon, a limited series podcast, is produced by Heather Bigley. Our editor is Josh Orton. Our post-production sound designers are Mark Hansen, Brandon Lewis, Daniel Phillips, and Carly Wilson. The text for this limited series is taken from the second edition of the book, published in 2018 by Deseret Book. Adam S. Miller retains the copyright. This podcast is a production of BYU Radio. I'm your host, Stephen Cap Perry. If interfaith understanding is important to you, tune in to our sister podcast, In Good Faith, committed to the idea that we all benefit from hearing people of widely varying backgrounds share their personal experience with faith and belief. In fact, we think people with such experience deserve some of our best listening. Find In Good Faith wherever you get your podcasts.